Thanks a million, Shane.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Enjoy the show.
Good afternoon. Happy Friday. Hope you're good. And you know what? It feels like a proper Friday today, doesn't it? If you want to join in the chats, we always love to hear from you. 51551 for your texts. ray@rte.ie for your emails. And we have got a full to the brim show to take you nicely into the weekend. Speaking of shows, of course, we're following the Joe Show. He's in Knock, heading to Ballina. And we'll be going over to Ballina in a few minutes just to savour the excitement and the anticipation and all the crack that's about to happen down there. Great excitement in Mayo. I'll also be catching up with celebrity chef and restaurateur Jamie Oliver. If you've ever thought of travelling on your own but haven't been able to work up the courage, stay tuned because travel editor Tom Brannock will be here with lots of tips and encouragement to maybe help you give it a go in the months ahead. The lovely Paul Ryder, he is also in for a chat. And always, as always, we have our quiz where today, like you have been able to do all week, a family holiday for four people to the lovely Fota Island Resort in Cork. Now, that would be a nice way to start the weekend, wouldn't it? So all that coming up. But first, there's a great piece in The Guardian today about the do's and don'ts of social media. Like, when you think about it, our phones, when they're in the wrong hands, or even when we're in the wrong moods, they can be like explosive, lethal weapons. You know, like as we've all experienced, things being taken out of context or humour completely lost in translation. It is a minefield. So they have outlined a few measures for us all to think about. So they start with friendships. And apparently you should never unfollow anyone, especially if you know them. Just mute them if they become annoying. So when you meet them in real life, there's none of that needless awkwardness, which I totally get. And I think can we all agree that we do have friends who we love dearly in person, but social media, their presence, their online presence, it's a bit cringy or a bit annoying. The advice, let them be, just let it slide. Of course, if they become annoying in real life, absolutely have it out with them, but not online. Why? Because it's not real. So that's the first piece of advice. Gossip with caution if you must. And let's face it, we do love a bit of gossip from time to time. But they suggest doing it maybe via a voice note because DMs, texts, they'll always be there. They can be reshared at any time. And a screenshot can be a powerful thing, as we know. Next, be kind with big announcement posts. That's the next bit of advice. So if somebody is posting about a new job or an engagement or a baby announcement, like, you don't want to be the person who writes "the kids got your massive forehead" under a picture of an ultrasound. You know, a nice heart emoji will suffice, or just a simple congratulations. That's all that's needed. They move on to relationships then. And this is the one that, well, it's constantly debated in our friendship circles. Do you delete or not delete pictures of your ex online? Now, the advice here from The Guardian is yes, delete all ex-partners out of your life. Bang, they never existed. Do this as a courtesy to your new partner or a potential new one. I don't know about that one, I have to say. I could argue that if a new partner has a problem with your previous life, should you have a problem with them? I don't know. The jury is out for me on that one. Then they talk about if somebody you fancy, what to do if you fancy somebody. And the advice is to play it cool. So don't do that thing like lots of DMs and comments under their posts, even if you really fancy them, because it is a little weird. I think this is good advice. So basically they're saying take whatever amount of engagement you think would be acceptable and then divide it by at least five. That's a good one to keep in the back pocket. Also, don't forget you can change your settings if you have to. So your aunt's new husband, who's always making weird jokes at Sunday lunch, has found your Instagram account and followed you. So you can change the settings. He can't then see your posts and he may notice, but it's still classier than a block. And here they're saying it's better than having to read, "you seem to have misplaced your skirt," followed by the monocle emoji. Like that one. And of course, the big one to finish off, don't drink and post. It's an obvious one, but always worth remembering. So there you go. You know all the social media rules. We are ready for the weekend. That's a bit of Whitney for the weekend. The social media etiquette texts are flying in. I write nothing in WhatsApp, Catherine, that I wouldn't want anyone else to see, and I absolutely hate screenshots. Somebody else, I really felt hurt when I discovered that an ex unfollowed me. We ended things well, so unfollowing me felt unnecessary. And then somebody else, definitely in favour of clearing the ex off all social media, and I would hope for the same from anyone I was seeing too. Screenshots of stuff I've sent on WhatsApp fill me with dread, says another person. And Simon, Catherine, I've left several WhatsApp groups because of jokes made by some of the lads. I make no apology for leaving and said so before I left. Good for you, Simon. Do what's right for you, as they say. Okay, keep them coming in, 51551. But now let me tell you about today's quiz. It is our whodunit quiz. And yes, we are looking for two people to come on air after 4 o'clock, and you will answer three whodunit questions each on music, sport, books, politics, inventions. Like all whodunits, there'll be clues. So if you answer without a clue, you get 2 points. And if you opt to take a clue, which is obviously going to be easier, you get 1 point. And we have a fab prize for the last time this week. It's 2 nights bed and breakfast for 2 adults and 2 children in a lodge at Fota Island Resort. Today, we are giving one lucky listener the chance to win a 2-night stay for 2 adults and 2 children in a lodge at Fota Island Resort, nestled on a beautiful, peaceful island. You're only 8 miles from Cork City, and there's lots of different lodges to choose from, 2, 3 or 4-bedroomed lodges. So they're perfect for families, groups, friends, fellow golfers, and you can find out all of the details at fotaisland.ie. So today, to enter, to be in with the chance of winning that prize, all you got to do is answer this question. Where in Ireland is US President Joe Biden visiting today? Is it Mayo or Mallow? So to enter, give us a call, 0818 715 925. That's 0818 715 925, and we'll get you up on air after 4 o'clock. All right, back after this.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
A text just in from a listener, which really reminds us to keep it all in context. Catherine, my Facebook page wasn't working last night, so I had to drive around to all my friends' houses to show them my dinner. Love it. All right. As we know, President Joe Biden, he has made it home to Mayo. He is currently in Knock before he makes his way to Ballina. And we have been keeping in touch with Jane Crean from the Ballina Costume Company, who is in the middle of all the chaos and excitement and madness and crackdown there. Jane, how are you doing?
How are you? How are the town is buzzing here.
Town is buzzing. So the day has arrived. He is on his way. So is the excitement level, like, is it off the scale down there?
Oh, it's off the Richter scale. I mean, we're here today up in the Sean Duffy Centre in Ardenry, right in the heart of it. So we're watching, we were doing a kids camp, an Easter kids camp, and we're in and out all day watching helicopters landing in the football pitch. There's great excitement. Every time a helicopter lands, the children thought it was Joe Biden coming already. But there's thousands in the town. I mean, they're coming in by, they've been shuttled in from Knockmore across Malina, all over the place. And dude, the trains is full, the buses coming in. I mean, the town is literally buzzing.
Hopping. And do the kids, you said you had an Easter kids camp going on.
Yes.
So you were trying to keep that all on course as well. Do they have any idea that history is being made today?
Oh, they're very excited, which we were shocked at, really, how excited the kids were and how much they knew. They nearly know more than we do. They're very excited. I mean, I don't know, do they understand the significance of it? But I mean, they're so excited. Every time, as I said, the helicopters landed, they thought they were nearly going to see him. But I mean, there certainly is. We were doing banners yesterday and a lot of the kids wrote on it, "Welcome Mr. Biden," on it. So
love it. And where are you at the moment, Jane? Are you inside and have you had a chance to go outside? And can you actually move around Ballina at all, or is it all cordoned off?
Now, for traffic, there's no way in with traffic. Mm. You can go from, if you're coming from the Ardenry side, you have to go down and go across the footbridge to access through Teeling Street. People are starting to queue now at the minute to think gates don't open until 5:30 and music is starting at 7 o'clock and President Biden is supposed to be giving a speech at 9 o'clock. Now that's rough times. I mean, like everything, it'll probably start late, but I mean, the town literally is, I mean, such a festival feel to the town. The town never looks so good. I mean, the town looks fantastic.
Oh, I heard on the news this morning they've been power washing the streets for the last 3 days.
We're shining. You can actually eat your dinner off them now. Yeah.
And come here, will you get out yourself and see the speech?
Oh yeah. I come down later on for it now. The children are just gone home, so we'll make our way down to it. I'll go home for a while and then come back in again and change. Oh yeah, I mean, it's history in the making, just to be even to stand there. If you never get anywhere near him, which you're not going to, but I mean, the way it's situated and where he will be in the cathedral, there's great access with all of the bridges. So I mean, you'll be able to see, and there's screens all over the place. There's screens. You will see it no matter where you're standing.
And the whole of Ballina is bedecked in your flags. You have been stitching and cutting and making and sewing for what must feel like an eternity. You've been making all of these United States flags.
Yeah, I mean, I have to say it really, really looks fabulous. There's no doubt about it. I mean, all the businesses have went to town on it, you know, and there was other businesses selling flags and doing it. So, I mean, there's no doubt about it. People have put in the effort.
What are you going to do with them all when he's gone?
Oh, well, they're gone and they're bought, so we don't care what anybody does with them. No, a lot of them is reusable, but once that the chamber will have bought, there will be able to be used again. As I said, there'll be a French festival later on in the year, and they're the perfect colours for it.
So oh, I love it. So you're just going to turn you're going to turn America French.
Yes, exactly. They're multi-purpose, you see. So,
this is
and
what
they're all made from recycled materials.
Reuse, recycle.
Yes. Exactly. That, and I mean, we are one of the green towns, the greenest town. So, I mean, we can't be putting up plastic bunting.
And come here, how many flags do you reckon you made, Jane, altogether?
Oh, God, I don't know. Oh, do you know what? It was come to the stages you were making that were going out the door, so you didn't even get to count. And the same with the bunting. I don't know how many reels of bunting that we made, how many. I mean, the girls were cutting out, like all of the bunting is cut out by triangles of material and they have to be all stitched together.
Wow.
So there's a lot of work in the bunting, but you know what? The buzz was fantastic. And I mean, it was great for us. I mean, it was a great revenue for us. And I think all the businesses today will do very well out of it.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, there's an awful lot of tourists around the town and you can see them because they're all out with their cameras.
And you know what? When things have been difficult, that's really worth remembering, you know, that the businesses are going to do well out of this.
There's no doubt about it. I mean, all the little the small shops and restaurants and things that's on the path, we'll say, of the town and in the centre of the town, they will do well because there is people and they have to eat and I'm sure the pubs and things will do well, which is fantastic. I mean, besides all the carnival atmosphere and everything, it is lovely to see that there is money been coming into the town with it. I mean, you know, it's great for the economy, whatever about anything else.
And come here, Jane, I have to ask you, right, your name's Jane Crean. Did you do a bit of Googling over the last couple of months? Did you try and see, were you in any way related? Are you a cousin in any shape or form?
No, I don't.
Because he has them coming out of the woodwork.
But I tell you, I come from both my parents come from very large families, so I have an awful lot.
You have enough.
Myself, I have enough now. I cut off. I don't want any more. So no, I didn't Google to see if I'm related to him.
Well, listen, have fun today. I hope he is everything that you expect and more. I think it's great for the town. You sound extremely excited. So enjoy every minute of it, Jane, and well done on all the bunting.
We will. And as I said, I think everybody is, you know, they're uplifted with it and everything. And it's not what everybody needs it. So it is. Carnival thing. The party's on in Ballina. So
the party has started. Enjoy. Take care, Jane.
Okay. Yeah, not a bother.
Take care.
Bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Text 51551. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
You can keep your texts coming into 51551. Now, I am so looking forward to chatting to my next guest, chef and restaurateur Jamie Oliver. He is a global phenomenon, starting out as The Naked Chef. He has sold more than 48 million books worldwide. He's an avid campaigner and advocate. And this week, he adds children's author to the menu with his new book, Billy and the Giant Adventure. And he joins me now, Jamie Oliver. Lovely to talk to you. How are you doing?
Hello.
Hello.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it's so nice to chat to you. First of all, Congratulations are in order on two fronts on the book, obviously. But you, Jules, and the kids had a very special celebration recently too.
Yeah, we got remarried.
You
we
did.
Our vows.
You did.
Yeah. I'm trying to stay romantic.
You were renewing your vows after how many years?
23 years. We wanted to do it on our 20th. We always sort of thought it would be nice to sort of have a little moment to sort of do that. But then COVID obviously got in the way. How dare it? But yeah, like, you know, I've got five kids. The two eldest ones have kind of flown the nest and they're at uni and they're sort of getting jobs. And I just thought it's probably one of the last holidays as a family, like before boyfriends and other things that happen in parents' lives. So yeah, we just did our vows and it was actually really, really nice. And I think I enjoyed it the most of everyone.
Oh, it looked so special. And did the kids know that that was on the cards? Did you all know? Like, was it a community affair?
Yeah, I think they did know it. But I think the nice thing about those sort of things is that, you know, you get dressed up and then there's actually a service. Like, there was only one other person on this little fine, tiny, tiny little sandy island. It was very idyllic. So it kind of had that sort of importance. And it was really nice for our little kids to sort of see that their mum and dad are still tight. And I guess as they start leaving the nest, we're sort of there no matter what.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I'm being very romantic, but I guess that's the point, right? It's a nice thing to do.
Well, I still say that one of the most special moments for our wedding day was having our daughter there. She was two at the time. And it was kind of that message of family and unity. And it was lovely.
And do you know what was interesting is, like, the words in the ceremony really, really resonate when you do it the second time. The first time round, everyone's pretending because you haven't done it yet.
Yes.
But like, every single word, you've done it, you smelt it, you felt it, you've for better and for worse, like, you really have. If you've done 20 years, you've been through it. And of course there'll be people listening that have done 30 years and 40 years and maybe 50 if you're lucky. So yeah, it's a good thing. It's a good thing.
And you guys have come through a lot. I mean, Poppy is 20, Daisy's 19, Petal is 13, Buddy is 12, River is 6. Like, that's a lot of rearing. It's a lot of family. It's a lot of disagreements. It's a lot of fights. It's a lot of love.
Personalities and traits and you know, as a parent, like, we're all baffled by the job, you know. I might have done it five times and I'm trying to breed an Irish style family here, but it's not easy, and there's lots of learnings along the way, and no one gets it all right. So I think, look, it's good to try and keep it together if you can, I was excited, and we'd never had a holiday like that. We'd never been.
Yeah, you were in the Maldives, right?
Yeah, we never done a White Sands holiday. I'd never seen that. That was amazing, just as you would imagine. Never done a hot holiday in Easter, so there were lots of firsts. Never done scuba diving, blew my mind. Stingrays, turtles, fish like you would never imagine, of all shapes and sizes. So yeah, there was lots of different things that I saw.
All right, well, talking about firsts, I mean, as I said, you've written over 30 cookbooks. So Billy and the Giant Adventure, this is your first children's book. So why was it important for you to do this?
Look, it wasn't actually intentional. I didn't intend to do what I've done, which is publish this book. Really and truly, I would put the kids to bed. I would read to them. As they're growing up, this was actually with Petal and Buddy. I'm dyslexic, so I've always, like, words have always been my enemy, and they've always freaked me out a bit. And of course I can read, but I didn't read my first book until I was 35. And primarily that's because I fall asleep after 10 pages and I can't focus and the words do weird things. And when you're like that, your kids get better than you at reading quite quick. So my kids was like, don't read. Can you read us a story from your head? So that's what I would then start doing. And it wasn't whimsical and romantic. It was like I was dreaming of them being asleep and having a gin and tonic. what I started doing was randomly doing stories, but I started recording them so I could continue the narrative and the characters. Wow. And then after, like, you know, a whole bunch of months, I had all these stories. And then over lockdown, because I'm so frightened of words, and I'm not dramatizing that. I think if anyone that's listening that has the same relationship with words and focus and getting on, you know, I've never had shortage of ideas and fantasy, and I love stories and I love being told stories, but the idea of writing is a nightmare. So I had it on dictaphone, I had it transcribed, and then I started creating, like, little stickies and building up a room, physical room, of, like, characters and views, and I ended up writing this book, and I didn't really present it to my team until not that long ago. took it to Puffin, and now it's a book and it's in the shops, like as of, you know, just the other day, and Billy and the Giant Adventure, and I'm super proud of it. And it's, and you know, I don't know if you've had a chance to read it, but it's,
I have. And the illustrations, there's so much magic in the book, I have to say, even yeah. from, and I know because you've spoken quite openly about your dyslexia, and I love the fact as soon as you open the book, the font is different.
It's the most dyslexic friendly font, and there's lots yeah. of like personal nuance in there, like, you know, the chapters will only ever start on the right hand side, you know, really like the way that I designed the pages and the words, and you'll see some of the expressive words get into bigger fonts and become more sort of visual. Mm. So these are all things that helped me as a kid, mm. Which obviously I can do in my own book because it's my book. But the illustrator, Monica Arminio, like she's actually Spanish, and she, I was always worried that she would get the kind of slightly British 1980s vibes, but she smashed that.
Yeah. And that's the thing, it's for kids as well, but there's a lot of great nostalgia in it for adults of the 90s, 1980s vintage,
you know,
that you can get those little chuckles.
What my pleasure was, I wanted to write this book for me as well as to kids, you know, really like in code, the book is about the wonder of nature and growing and the importance of fantasy. And then if you've dived into the characters, if you're not a conventional learner or can't do things conventionally, it's overcoming those challenges in different creative ways. So that in code is in the book. But yeah, of course, it's like set in the current time now with a parent putting the two kids to bed, just as I did when I created the book. It's set in the 80s in a little village, and there's a wood that has some like dark secrets, and they stumble across another world by pure luck. So I've got the 80s, the current day, and magic, the magical world, to be able to just, you know, develop these characters, challenges, goodies, baddies, adventure, gadgets, getting out of situations. But yeah, I mean, food is in it. Hopefully you agree. Like, it's not hard selling food. It's not pushing food, but important stuff happens over dinner tables and lunchtimes and breakfasts. And I mean, as you know, like kitchens are the most important part of the home, no matter what. You know, and so that's kind of in there. And
yeah,
you know,
you've got three pages dedicated to Billy making porridge with the granddad. And I saw you actually put it up on your Instagram page as well.
I mean, and that sounds like it's a cookbook of some description, but it's really not. It's just granddad sort of saying, granddad in the audiobook. And by the way, check out the audiobook. I, because of the dyslexia, I wanted to make a really like visceral, immersive experience. So I've gone hell for leather on the audiobook. Dexter Fletcher, the actor and director, is playing granddad in that scene. And he's like, come here, son. Right, I've got to teach you how to do this. And he kind of goes through this incredible, important recipe of how to make the perfect porridge. And Billy's like, really? Like, is porridge really that important? But don't be fooled. This is all new to me.
You've got a lovely dedication at the beginning of the book, which I just think sums it all up. And it says, never lose hope. You have the power to see things in ways nobody else will. Find your way, just like Billy. And again, in the book, it's never actually mentioned that Billy has dyslexia.
Yeah.
But for example, like I pulled out this piece, it wasn't that he didn't want to pay attention, but his mind just always seemed to wander. And the words on the blackboard or in his books just seemed to dance around in front of his eyes, no matter how hard he concentrated. And that just sums up dyslexia so brilliantly.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I think it's whether it's dyslexia or ADHD, ADD, or any other shade of struggle. Mm.
Do you think there is still a lot of misunderstanding around dyslexia or stigma around dyslexia? We've come on so much since you were in school, since I was in school, but there's still a long way to go, isn't there?
Yeah, it's the next revolution. People that have neurodiversity, it's much more understood. You know, I've got a daughter that's ADHD. My wife has just been diagnosed with ADHD. Like, they process things in a very different way. And when you understand it, then instead of thinking they're awkward, you can sympathize and try and stop that thing that freaks them out happening. Mm. You know, it's all about processing and order. Education has such a long way to go with neurodiversity. As someone that left school running, as someone that hated the written word, you know, it's taken actually this kid's book to finally brush the last set of chips off my shoulder.
Really, Jamie?
Yes, genuinely. It's the most important book I've ever published to me emotionally. And that's because, like, cooking was never my demon. Cooking saved me. I had a weekend job, probably illegally. I was working from 10. Like, I was doing like 7-hour shifts learning how to cook. It was amazing. I was learning a skill and a craft. I knew I would never be out of a job. I knew I wouldn't be useless. I knew I could cook. But most of those kids haven't got that. They haven't found the hobby yet. I mean, of course, life is about chopping and changing and trying different things. Maybe not for me, you know, crack on instruments, the whole thing. And it's not just the kids, by the way, it's the parents are really worried about their kids that struggle in this, about their child fitting in, about bullying and all those things. So I think there's a long way to go. I think the Billy Boy way is profoundly symbolic of saying to your kid, don't worry, there's another way. Mm. And I really mean that. And as a 47-year-old man, it's taken all those years, and I'm already, like, you know, I'm the biggest non-fiction author in the country of Britain. I still had chips on my shoulder about how I struggled at school. Mm. They've gone now, and that was, by the way, yesterday. Yesterday, they finally went.
Wow.
So what does that mean? What does it mean? I just think what you want is a next generation of Irish kids having a spring in their foot, feeling hope, feeling that even if they've got that struggle, there's a way around it. And you want them to feel it, you want the parents to feel it, but also you do need institutions like education to be able to handle that. And it's not that, and I know now that, like, teachers are the secret weapon. Schools are amazing. Like, it's everything that we've all invested in schools. Like, I've never had more respect for teachers. I've never had more respect for schools. But I also think that they're not magicians. You know, it's not a fiction book. They need support, they need leadership, and they need budgets to do what they can do. The best bang for your buck, the best euro for your buck, the best investment in every Irish person's taxpayer money is in schools. Mm. Like, it is a way of treasuring your culture. It's a way of shaping what the future might look like. But, I mean, if I had a magic wand, I would want every single 16-year-old to be able to leave school knowing how to cook 10 recipes to save their life, know where food comes from and how it roughly affects their body, but also get them closer to nature. And if there's one thing in this book that's kind of, I don't know how much you read of it, but there's a thing called the rhythm.
Mm.
And the rhythm is a metaphor for Mother Nature and how everyone and everything has to do its bit to contribute to making it all work. So really at the heart of that is getting kids to grow stuff. I am 100% sure that if you get kids closer to growing stuff, you get them closer to eating stuff. And the closer you get them to both of those, their minds explode, the things they eat across their life that explode. Like, you, it just makes everything better.
I couldn't agree with you more, like 100%. And as I said, you have been campaigning on this for a long time. You've been promoting school dinners. You've been promoting children and health for so long. You were a part of the UK's soft drinks tax as well.
Yeah, we created the documentary that created the campaign that forced the debate, that forced the tax. And just for your viewers that are listening, what's fascinating about that is it was the fastest reformulation of sugary drinks in the world. It was a tax for good. All the money raised went straight to primary schools for breakfast clubs and sports clubs. And of course, sugary drinks was the single largest source of sugar in our kids' lives. So it's actually played out really well. And actually, the industry has profited from it. Why? Because they've diversified their choice, more watery, more fruit and more milky drinks. So actually, it was a win-win for everyone.
I can't let you go without congratulating you. I mean, there's lots of congratulations today. Yesterday, you were awarded a gold Blue Peter badge.
Oh, and I am wearing it upon my breast.
Oh, what an achievement.
I was so happy.
Totally.
And for work, for child health. So, yeah, I was on cloud nine yesterday.
It's just the smile on your face said it all, you know. And I mean, it brought us all back to, I mean, we all remember Blue Peter. And I didn't even know they were still doing the gold Blue Peter badges. It's amazing.
Absolutely. No, I was over the moon and it was a lovely surprise. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so grateful.
Oh, it's been such a pleasure to talk to you. Continue all the work that you do all around children's health and general health. It is amazing. And Jamie's book, again, it's his first children's book, Billy and the Giant Adventure. It is available now and you can find out more on jamieoliver.com/Billy. Jamie, have a wonderful weekend.
Take care. Lots of love.
Bye. That was Coldplay and that was Jamie Oliver. I was chatting to lots of people going back down memory lane. Always loved Jamie Oliver since the naked chef on his Vespa days, full of joy and positivity. Still uses recipes for the Sunday roast and his chicken and leek pot pie. That comes in from Lucy in Walkinstown. I'm shocked that Jamie has adult children. In my head, he's still 20. I respect Jamie Oliver. He's made a big effort to get kids to eat in a healthier way. Absolutely, he certainly has done that. I bought his book, 15 Minute Meals, and made a mess of all of them. Can't cook to save me life, says somebody else. Then Mags has said, fair play to that woman with the flags. Great spirit. I'm glued to the coverage. This is obviously Biden on his way to Ballina. We'll be sad to see Joe wave goodbye. What a boost it's been for the country. And then we were chatting earlier about social media as well and the do's and don'ts when it comes to posting and whatnot. I'm tempted, Catherine, to delete it all. I spend way too much time on Instagram and WhatsApp. Too much chat. Can we just meet in a real life place, please? Yeah, I think there's a lot of people who might agree with you on that one. And I don't know, I just think particularly right now, we're living in a world where people are craving connection and real life connection, not phone connection, just meeting and chatting and debating and talking about life. All right, lots more to come. We've got Tom Brannock coming up, but let's take a quick break.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Tweet at Radio Ray RTE. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, without a doubt, there is a hint of summer in the air, so it's time to talk travel. And one of the biggest emerging trends in recent years has been the rise of solo travel, hitting that open road alone. So what options are out there? Travel editor with the Irish Examiner, Tom Brannock, is here to give us some inspiration. And Tom, when I hear your voice, I just know summer is coming. It's on the way.
Well, good. Okay. I'm glad I'm synonymous with summer. Usually I think I'm always heading off to some snowy, wintry spot. So that's good.
But come here. I suppose making the decision to travel alone for the first time can seem really daunting. When I've had these conversations with friends, I mean, people worry, will they feel lonely? Will they look lonely? What will people think of me having dinner on my own? Am I going to have any crack? You know, there's all these, what if I get into trouble? And I suppose they're not unreasonable assumptions. It's certainly not for everybody, but there's liberation and it can be lots of fun and it allows you work on your own schedule. But it is tough taking that first step for the first time.
No, it is. And like you say, it's that, you know, I know from traveling myself, you know, it's there's this kind of like lonely hour in the morning, 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock, when you're heading off to the airport by yourself wondering, what am I doing? But then as soon as you're on the road or on your flight, the kind of the adrenaline kicks in. I guess we as Irish people, we're such, you know, we're a pure nation of gallivanters. So I kind of feel it comes like second nature to us. I know with myself, when I did my first solo trip, maybe it was back as a J1 student, and then I did my Erasmus and what have you. But I get, and then my bigger one was when I went to South Africa in my mid-20s volunteering. I think that was an example of a place that I'd heard so many, kind of pre-internety days almost, you know, I mean, mid-noughties. And you hear all these kind of dreadful stories about certain places, but then when you get there, you realize if you take certain precautions and what have you, you can actually not only have not only be fine, but have a really incredible experience. I think also, Catherine, when you travel by yourself, you're maybe, because I've compared it to dynamics when I've traveled with friends over the years, and which is, but if I look at the kind of lifelong friends I've made through travel, most of those would have been experiences by myself, if you know what I mean. Versus because you're not as reliant as your family or your core or your plus ones or your boyfriend, girlfriend, whoever's with you at your time. And
I did a lot of it when I was in my 20s, and I think it's easier to sort of make friends, or you're more likely to be in the pub or in a club or whatever. And I think maybe 3 years ago I did a city break on my own to Madrid, and I had to relearn sitting comfortably on my own in a restaurant, say for dinner. And I had already said, I'm not bringing out my phone, and I'd said, I'm not bringing out my book. Because that was always the thing. I used to always have the book as a backup, and I had to get comfortable again. And it was uncomfortable sitting at a table in a restaurant on my own having dinner for the first half an hour.
I know, and it's actually really nice because I travel a lot for work here. You really appreciate then. I mean, so many times I sit down, particularly in like a finer dining restaurant, and you feel like some kind of like you've been jilted on a honeymoon, you know. But like, it's really nice when Irish hotels realize that you have a reservation for one, and instead of the yes. server removing like 15 pieces of cutlery and glassware in front of you, you know, couldn't be making it more obvious that you're on your own. Sometimes nowadays, you know, there's like one place setting, and I've even found, I think it was like the Mustard Seed in Limerick where I was recently.
Great
they
spot.
Had, yeah, it's lovely. They gave me like a newspaper and a few coffee table books, and that's just a really nice way of kind of, you know, like you say, because you don't want to be like looking at your phone all the time. So it's a nice way of kind of engaging with the area and kind of feeling welcome as a single Pringle.
Mm. And I do think you just have to embrace it when they say table for two. No, table for one. Table for
That's
one.
Me.
That's me. That's me. All right. Well, let's kind of, because we've said that it is a growing form of tourism over the last couple of years. And tell me, like, where, if you were to start and you were traveling on your own, where there are countries that are better at it than others.
Yeah, and there's a huge, I mean, it's like, it's really, really growing. I think Google searches apparently have quadrupled in the last couple of years. I feel like it was a trend prior to the pandemic, and now it's really accelerated that. So, and it's even, I would say, like, you know, we're all seeking the great outdoors and what have you, and we're looking for solitude too. And so as a consequence of that, Iceland has been frequently ranked as the top destination for solo travellers. And I think that because Iceland taps into so many of the trends right now, solitude for a start, it's a very safe country for people who are apprehensive about travelling by yourself, and it looks good on social media. So that's
of
so
course.
Kinda, it's several of the big criteria there. And what's nice about Iceland, I guess, is I know it is justifiably has a reputation as being an expensive destination. Mm. But if you travel by yourself, you can, you know, do escorted tours, which give you like peace of mind, and you don't have to go renting a car, which is pricey. So you can do your escorted tour to like the Northern Lights or the Golden Circle, which is kind of almost like their kind of Ring of Kerry, which is lots of the blockbuster sites like Gullfoss Waterfall or the geysers, and then you can go down to the Blue Lagoon. So that has become hugely popular for solo travellers, and it's kind of a bucket list destination as well. And also, you know, if you keep an eye out on things, aspects like they've really, across the Nordic nations, they've got fantastic hostels. You can really
I was
save.
Just going to say, yeah, what are they like up there? Because obviously that's a great way to meet people. It's a great way to kind of connect with people if that's what you're looking for.
Exactly. So, yeah, they're kind of, I would say they're almost like half hostel, half hotel level. They're quite like functional, and it's Nordic, so they're quite, you know, clinical but clean and comfortable. But you know, you can get your own room in a hostel, a private room, that is, for €75 a night, which is really reasonable, and it's good quality, and you can rustle up your own breakfast and what have you in the morning. So that's a good option there. And another really good value option is Morocco. So that's a kind of a really, because you know, a value is such a consideration right now. So you can get, even for the summer, operators like Sunway have 1 week packages for €350 per person per week, which is outstanding.
Wow.
And then that's
with no solo supplement.
Exactly, yeah.
Wow.
So you're staying in self-catering apartments there in Agadir, and then you've got more budget to maybe, you know, go on tours to the Sahara or up along the Atlantic coast, where they have cool kind of hippie trippy surfer towns like Essaouira and Tahazout and what have you. And also, when you're travelling, just to kind of, I suppose, make, there's so many apps at one's disposal nowadays, like the Meetup app. So for example, if you download that, maybe you could find a food tour in Agadir, or some kind of art painting class in Reykjavik. So they're really good options, and like you say, you meet people. I think food tours are really good options to kind of just because there's not the implication that if you're going as a solo traveller that you're some kind of a recluse. You know, there's all a huge spectrum of, you can go solo or else be, you know, social. And the nice thing about kind of food tours and activities like that is you kind of, as you say, you do get to meet up with people, and you're kind of engaging.
And Sorry to interrupt you, but I just pick up on what you're saying there. I think that's really important to ask yourself before you set off on a solo adventure. Like, what is it that you're looking for? What do you want to get out of the trip? Do you like people around you? Do you like the hostel vibe? Do you like city breaks? Or if you are going your own, do you want that complete solitude? You know, do you want to get away from it all? Would you fare better in the great outdoors? You know, it's to kind of ask yourself and not try and be somebody on Instagram. It's like, what do you want to experience? You know, and I know influencers are enticing people to try lots of things, and I think it's great, but it is important to recognise what do you want?
Yeah, because you're ultimately going to get a lot more out of it if you follow your own kind of... I was away in the States over New Year's and I was off grid for a couple of days, and that was the best part of a car, and not having that kind of that noise in your head of social media all the time. And I think that's one of the kind of growing reasons now that people are the whole gauntlet of demographics are seeking, are wanting solo travel now. So it's not just kind of the 50 plus demographic who maybe want to go on a yoga retreat, or, you know, it's everybody right now, and yoga retreats are fantastic, but you know what I mean? It's so wide right now.
Okay, we talked about value abroad. Let's talk about value in Ireland, because we know it can be pricey travelling alone, with the majority of pricing on double occupancy or hitting you with single supplements. So give us a few deals in Ireland that might work for somebody.
Okay, yeah. So lots of hotels have... I guess try and look out for hotels that have specific single rooms. So you're not, I guess, subsidising couples or places... with double occupancy rooms. So there's lots of great hotels like the Clarence in Dublin they've got a snug rooms for £155 a night, the Harrison in Belfast for £150 sterling. They got really cute bohemian themed rooms, and the owner there, like, she, Melanie Harris, she gives you, Harrison gives you like her own map, so you can go out and venture and explore the city.
Oh, love that.
Yeah, there's like there's a whole gauntlet from, I've stayed in, you can go from like Tory Island off Donegal for €75 a night for a single room, to the likes of like Ballyfin, who have, you can add another zero there if you want to stay there. A lot of country houses are good options, because they often have that kind of like little small room that they aren't able to do, that kind of work well as a...
The one under the stairs.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you may have a little bit more wiggle room than that, but they're kind of great options there. And also Irish B&Bs and Airbnbs, I suppose, because as I say, they're a lot of the larger hotel chains, you know, all the rooms are kind of cookie cutter in size. Mm.
And I think obviously the great thing about the homestays and the Airbnbs, particularly shared Airbnbs, when you choose to stay in a room in somebody's house, like, that gives you an automatic connection with a city or a place. And even if the landlord doesn't take you out of the town, like, you're going to get the tips and you're going to get the local cafes and the local restaurants, which I always think is good as well. We have texts flying in here, which I'm going to try and get to Tom. This year at the age of 46, I travelled alone but joined a group of 12 complete strangers from all over the world to Iceland and travelled the Golden Circle. It was so amazing. I made great friends. Highly recommend getting out of your comfort zone and seeing beautiful places. That's comes in from Gráin in Cork. I travelled to 80 countries, says another listener, 40 on my own after I split up with my girlfriend. I was wary at first but had the best time. I was young and single and made the most of it. I've been holidaying on my own, says somebody else, for 25 years, since I was 27. I absolutely love my own company. I've no interest in making friends with strangers. That defeats the whole purpose of holidaying on my own. I'm a woman and I've always felt safe too. The only thing is I'm paying double for hotels and cruises. Another, has Tom any tour group recommendations for singles, please?
G Adventures are great, and also Wendy Wu. There's also, I mean, I know we were chatting about influencers earlier. That's kind of become a new trend too, where you can, because like some influencers have become like such a trusted figure over the last few years. So I know like Nadia Elferdousi, she does like guided hosts. Trips in Spain. So not everyone's into kind of the boozy holidays. So you can do her good life trips and, you know, enjoy, you know, wine, food, but also like fun fitness activities during the week, and they've become really popular as well. So there's loads out there where you have that kind of peace of mind of community. So and the likes of G Adventures too, they don't charge some of the companies don't charge single supplements, but they'll just try and room you up with someone of your age or gender. And if that doesn't work out, they'll actually give you your own accommodation without the surcharge. That's great. So it's worth looking around. And there's like such, it's such a buzz to like travel by yourself and get that sense of, you know, kind of achievement and making it by yourself, and also and probably making some incredible friendships through it too.
Oh my God, I'm dreaming now of my next trip. It's been a while, but I feel I need to escape on my own. another listener, I think this is one to finish on. I love solo travel because I decide everything. Dinner time, whether or not I'll go to the bar, and what time I'll go home at. Absolutely love
music.
It. And the music. Tom Brannock, always lovely to chat to you. Have a wonderful weekend. Thanks for joining
Thanks,
me
Catherine.
This
Sloan.
Afternoon. Sloan. Anish Toshen, I'm the Prieft Kielton Anukdala, Marian Ni Hulawan. Gurumahagat Marian, a lot of love still coming in for Jamie Oliver. Good to hear Jamie talk so passionately about his work with children and being so honest about his own struggles. Love his enthusiasm. He's still got it. Another listener, I'm laughing here because I know it's mad, but I've had such a bad habit of stalking exes. So yeah, we were talking earlier on about whether you should delete your ex off your social media. This listener says, both mine and my partner's, I don't know why, but I always look them up on Facebook and Instagram just to see what they're up to and how they look. I'm sure everyone does it, don't they? I'm not jealous or sad, just nosy. I just have to be careful not to like any posts or photos. It's happened before. Oh yeah, gotta be careful. Gotta be careful with that one. All right, now it is time for this. Yes, it is our whodunit quiz, and we have two people who are ready to do battle, answer three questions each, and hopefully take home the crown today. And the title for the winner today is a prize of two nights, bed and breakfast, and for two adults and two children in a lodge at Fota Island Resort. So it is nestled at the heart of a peaceful island, 8 miles from Cork City. So you can have a 2, 3 or a 4 bedroom self-catering lodge, which is perfect for families, groups of friends or fellow golfers. Fotaisland.ie is the website if you want to find out more. And we asked the listeners today, where in Ireland is US President Joe Biden visiting? Is it Mayo or Mallow? And of course it is Mayo. And two people who are going to play for that prize today are Daria Kine and Paddy O'Brien. Daria, I will start with you. You're player number one. Good afternoon. How are you today?
Good afternoon, Catherine. How are you?
Sure, listen, I'm mighty. It's Friday. The sun is shining. The weekend is nigh. You are phoning from Donabate in Dublin. Are you near the beach?
I'm not far from the beach. Yep, it's grand here now. It's lovely. A little bit of rain on the way, actually. It's just lashing.
Oh, no way. Is it actually lashing?
Yep, it's just opened up. Yep,
wow.
Lashing out of the heaven.
Oh, my goodness.
Yep.
I've been inside for the last
grand.
8 hours, it feels. And so what
You'll
are you up to?
We'll be out shortly, Catherine.
We'll be out shortly, exactly.
Yep.
What are you up to for the day and for the weekend?
Nothing.
Chilling out.
Yes.
Love it.
You don't have to do everything. It's grand.
Oh my God, Daria, I'm just going to put that on repeat and listen to that the whole way home.
Absolutely.
Chilling.
Absolutely.
So no plans?
Chilling. No plans.
I love it.
No plans. Yeah.
And are you at home on your own?
I'm at home with my daughter. She's just arrived in and my doggy is at my feet. And I'm not into doing anything and they're back to school on Monday.
I think that is the greatest thing I've heard all day.
What
did you think about Tom Brannock's chat about solo travel? Is that something that you feel that you would like to do? Would you maybe go to Fota Island on your own?
No. Isidoro will be coming with me, but I totally think it's amazing. I did Thailand on my own about 20 years ago. Best time ever. It's something for everybody. Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah.
Have you been
lovely people?
Mm.
Yeah. And it was just great.
Mm. And Thailand is a great spot to do it in as well, because there's just that transient flow of people. There's always people coming and going and moving. I travelled there on my own first, actually. That was one of the first places I did it and loved it. Have you been following Mr. President on his visit?
I have indeed. Yeah. Mm.
It's good.
It's
isn't
fantastic.
It?
Yeah, it's great. It's great for Ireland.
Okay. Daria, nice to chat to you.
Nice to chat, Catherine.
You stay on the line there. Paddy O'Brien from Tralee. How are you, sir, this afternoon?
Not too bad, Catherine. How are you?
Good, good, good. All good. What are you up to today?
Just doing a bit of work in the garden and hopefully going for a walk later on. The weather's nice here in Tralee.
Okay. And you're getting ready for back to school at the moment. You've got Jared, Isolt and Shana, is it?
Yes, yeah, they're starting back on Monday, yeah. Okay. They're going to a new school.
Wow, they're going to a new school?
Yeah, new building.
Ah, okay, okay. And it says here you've got a Leaving Cert student in the house. How are the stress levels?
Yeah, Jared, our oldest fella, so he's busy studying.
Good for him.
Leaving.
Good for him. And are the stress levels all right?
Yeah, not too bad.
Good. And any plans for the weekend?
Hopefully going rowing on Sunday if the weather's nice.
Fabulous, fabulous. All right, guys, we are playing, as I said, for a lovely weekend in Fodor Island. Do you want to wish each other the best of luck? It's Daria and Paddy.
Yeah, best of luck, Daria.
Best of luck, Paddy. Hello to everybody in Tralee.
Oh, nice.
Hello
stuff.
To yourselves.
All right, Daria, you are contestant number one, so we are going to start with you. So our first category is music bands, okay? So if you
music
want...
Music bands. Yeah.
Yes, music bands. So if you take a clue, it'll get you 1 point. If you opt for no clue, you will get 2 points on the board if you get it right. What do you think?
Ooh, one clue.
You want to go for a clue?
Yes, please.
Okay, so this is your clue, which will get you 1 point on the board. This 80s band's name rhymes with BAM.
Okay, Catherine.
I couldn't let you answer too early, Daria. Go for it.
Yes. Wham.
Yes. Amazing. We had to have a listen. We had to get Club Tropicana in, but you knew it straight out of the trap. So well done you. 1 point on the board. Paddy, coming to you now. And again, your category is music bands. What do you think? Do you want to have a clue and get 1 point, or do you want to go hell for leather and have no clue?
I won't bother with the clue. So.
Okay, so you're going to bank 2 points. You're going to try and bank 2 points.
Yeah,
all right, all you got to do is have a listen to this and tell me who they are. You know I love you. Okay, Paddy, can you tell us who that is?
Yeah, it's Wet, Wet, Wet.
Yes, well done you. Fabulous. All right, so that's 2 points on the board for you. Daria, one on the board for you. And our second category, Daria, is Irish actors.
So, Irish actors,
yeah,
okay.
What do you think? Do you want a clue or do you want no clue?
No clues.
No clues. Okay, this is to try and get 2 points on the board. Have a listen and tell me who this is.
I don't know what you want. If you are looking for a ransom, I can tell you I don't have money. But what I do have are a very particular set of skills. Skills I've acquired over a very long career. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
Who is that, Daria?
Liam Neeson.
Yes, well done you. Very recognisable voice. And of course, that is Liam Neeson in Taken. Great movie. All right, 3 points on the board for Daria. Paddy, 2 on the board for you. And your second category is also Irish actors. So 1 point with a clue or 2 points for no clue. What do you think?
I won't bother with the clue either.
No clue. Okay, again, this is for 2 points. On the board, all you got to do, Paddy, is tell me who is this.
If I've done something to you, just tell me what I've done to you. And if I said something to you, maybe I said something when I was drunk and I've forgotten it. But I don't think I said something when I was drunk and I've forgotten it. But if I did, then tell me what it was. And I'll say sorry for that too. Dolly Hart, I'll say sorry.
All right, Paddy, who's that?
It's Colin Farrell.
Yes.
Colin Farrell.
Yeah, well done, Paddy. That was from The Banshees of Inisherin. You knew that one as well, Daria.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, great stuff. All right, but that was Paddy's question. You got it right, Paddy. That means 4 points on the board for you, 3 on the board for you, Daria. So this is our third and final category, and this is famous puppets, no less. So what do you think? 1 point with a clue or 2 points for no clue?
No clue, Catherine.
All right, just take a listen for 2 points, Daria, and tell me who this is.
Grover, you keep trying to sell me things that I cannot use. For instance, I remember the time you sold me the earmuffs, and I do not have ears. Then the time you sold me a nose warmer, and I don't have a nose. And then there was a time you sold me a toothbrush. And Grover, I have no teeth.
Who's that, Daria?
That is Sesame Street. It's Ernie.
No! Oh, unfortunately not. It is Kermit the Frog.
Kermit the Frog? Oh, yes. Jesus.
Kermit the Frog from The Muppet Show. That was the who we were looking for, which means we have a winner today on 4 points. Paddy from Tralee, you are our winner today. Daria, unfortunately, that means, as I said, we can only have one winner, but we will be sending you a Ray D'Arcy Show Keep Cup. So enjoy that and have a wonderful weekend doing nothing.
Hard luck, Daria.
It's all right. Have a lovely time and good luck with the Leaving Cert in your house and everything.
Thank you very much, Daria.
Alright, thanks Catherine.
Thanks Daria. Lovely stuff. Well done. Congratulations Paddy. So the whole gang will be going, I take it. Your wife Noreen.
That'd be great.
Yeah, your wife Noreen, Jared, Isolt and Shayna.
Perfect. That's brilliant. Now that's, we're delighted.
That's a good way to start the weekend, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Very good. Now thank you very much.
Happy days. Enjoy.
The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
We were chatting about solo travel and the pros and cons. Catherine, I'm in a long-term relationship and though we do go on holidays together, I actually prefer to go alone. I get so much more out of a trip when I'm by myself and even get to meet more people. My boyfriend isn't mad on befriending people on holidays, but I love to. And you know what? I love that that works for the two of you. Do your thing. He does his thing. And it all works out for everybody. Love it. All right. I think we have time for a bit of music, do we? Yeah, let's take Years and Years. That's a great track. All right, my next guest has had quite a busy few months when he's not performing in drag on stage. You'll catch him on Ireland AM hosting duty or on radio or in his brand new show, which is called Makeup All Stars. Paul Ryder, it's a busy time.
That's such a weird thing for Catherine Thomas to say. I absolutely am obsessed with that. Thank you so much. It is a busy time, but you know what? Booked, busy, blessed and stressed. That's my my motto and I stick by that.
You know, and it's quite the opposite of what Daria was saying before the break. I was chatting to a lady and she's like, I have no plans. I am doing nothing. I am chilling. I said, no, no plans for the weekend. And it was so refreshing to hear the other side.
I wonder what that's like.
I wonder. I wonder. But come here, really, you haven't stopped. It's been full on. And when did you first start with Ireland AM?
I started just after I did Ireland's Got Talent, which would have been 5 years ago. Didn't win the show, came out and kind of hit the ground running. I'd been grafting quite a bit before that in the industry and stuff like that, more so performance side. But the media and the broadcasting was always very interesting to me. And then when it came around to season two of IGT, I hounded, and I mean I hounded them. I was like, you should have me involved here, lads. Come on now, cop on. And they did. Ireland AM brought me in as a contributor for IGT. And from there then, it kind of escalated bits and bits. I kind of climbed that ladder and then last year started guest hosting. And it's amazing. It's an absolutely amazing experience. And this side of media and this side of broadcasting and being in front of the camera is something I've loved to do, especially with this show, to kind of have my own stamp on something that's my show. Do you know, the sort of a way is a beautiful thing. Obviously created by some amazing people, but for to have me at the forefront was brilliant. Absolutely.
Well,
brilliant.
Let's talk about the new show, Makeup All Stars. Tell me all about it.
So it was created by a lady named Jenny Guinan, who is she's a makeup teacher and she owns an academy and stuff like that. And she has said that she watched British Bake Off and wanted to create a makeup version. And it came to fruition. And it is 8 fantastic contestants who have to go through the challenges of makeup. And these kids are so talented. They're superstars in their field. And they're so used to being in their house, you know, in the mirror for 3-4 hours at a time. And then they were thrust into this studio for, you know, a week and a half filming. And they had to obviously complete challenges. And then somebody goes at the end of each day and stuff like that. But it's not your typical kind of like, they show the makeup, they go home. There's twists, there's turns. And there's thrills in this show. There's all sorts to kind of take in, but it's a gorgeous heart to it. These kids are so nice. They're so welcoming. They're just so like damn good. And it's a really good show to watch. And really
so talented. And I think unless you actually have a full understanding of the talent that's involved, these kids are unreal. I mean, there's a friend of mine, John Bowes. He does makeup, and he is incredible in that whole area of full body makeup. The effects that can be achieved are huge. It is a massive community. It's massive in the States. It's massive in the UK. It's getting its outing here as well. Like, you're no stranger to the whole world of makeup yourself. Where did your passion begin?
My passion, because obviously I'm a performer, right? And I was the stage cool kid. I was the stage cool brat, you know, worked my way through that. But there was something missing because I wasn't performing enough. Do you know, you want to feel that energy. And then I saw friends of mine who were doing drag and they were getting to gig every single night of the week. And it just, I was like, God, maybe that's something I could do. And then, of course, with drag and performance comes makeup. Now, Catherine, believe you me, when I started out in this game, I'd throw a bit of green eyeshadow in the corner. I'd have a bit of a purple lip on and think I was RuPaul. And RuPaul, I was not. I was not, absolutely. But over the time and over the years, and same with these kids in this show, they progress over the course of period and you learn how to beat the mug, as they say in the industry, and really work with your own face. And then you try and get creative and stuff like that. So it's a gorgeous process. And actually, sometimes there's nothing better to sit down before a gig for 2 hours and just really take time painting your face. And it's almost like a calming thing. Some people use mindfulness. I just use it to paint my face, to be honest.
And they're quite young. There's one of the contestants is like 15 or 16.
15, 16 when he started. And yeah, but like the talent at 15, 16. The great thing about this is when I started doing drag and makeup, I learned by just sitting alongside other drag queens, and you know, you see them paint the face, you take tips. Whereas these kids have so many YouTube tutorials, there's TikTok tutorials to show you how to do absolutely everything. So even to see them last night, some of them, you know, I saw their makeup when they did the show, but then to see their makeup that they were had on last night, I was like, my God, like it's art, it's complete artistry. What some of these guys do.
And when you talk about drag, like you've been, how long have you been doing it? 10 years?
12 years.
12 years.
My God,
okay.
For my sins.
So how long would it take you today to do like the full drag makeup?
The makeup can take between an hour and a half to an hour and 45. I always say top to toe, I'd love to have 2.5 hours, you know, sitting down before I'm actually ready to leave for a gig. So it is, it's time consuming. You can do, it's like cutting corners. If you wanted to cut the inner bit of the grass, you'd cut that. But if you want to cut the whole thing, it takes a good bit of time because you need time just to kind of really paint and feel good and feel comfortable, because that's what it's about. It's about feeling the fantasy, as we say. When you go out, you feel like you look good. And that's like anyone who wears makeup or anyone who feels good about themselves. You want to spend the time to really just enjoy it.
Mm. And I mean, now we see how popular drag has become, not even how popular it's become, but how out there in
mainstream.
The media and mainstream it is, like our very own Panty Bliss on Dancing with the Stars. And we see how popular, of course, RuPaul's Drag Race has become. Like, this has helped in a major way. And I'd imagine not just, say, the kids and the contestants that are on your show, but in terms of people accepting themselves. For example, what does drag do for you?
Drag for me gives me a level of confidence that I don't have as Paul Ryder, right? And I know I don't have a stage name. I've always kept my own name, but it's a level of confidence, and it's almost as well as that being in a community, that just the feeling of acceptance and the feeling of love that you can feel from the rest of your community. And you're right, it has become so mainstream. And actually, RuPaul's Drag Race and that becoming so mainstream has opened up so many doors for performers to go out and work, you know, the likes of brand collaborations, the likes of different opportunities. Look at Panty Bliss on Dancing with the Stars. Icon, legend, when will she be president? That sort of stuff opens up so many doors for so many different people. And also, RuPaul's Drag Race is not just a drag competition. It shows the heart. It shows the struggles that the LGBTQ plus community go through. And it really hit home. It really hits home with different messages, not just for gay people or queer people, but for anyone. Everyone has problems and everyone suffers with issues. And RuPaul's Drag Race can sometimes tap into those. And it just gives a good whole heart to the community. So drag for me, it's a confidence booster, and it's also letting me live a little dream. As I said earlier on, I'm a performer by heart. To get onto the stage and to meet different people and meet different audiences and, you know, tour in different places, it's just, I'm blessed, absolutely blessed.
And I mean, when everyone was saying, you know, and we saw the significance for Panty being on Dancing with the Stars, being on RTE1, and there I saw you hosting Ireland AM on Paddy's Day in full drag.
Oh, on Pride Day last year. Oh, my God.
Pride Day, sorry,
That, Catherine, that to me was a career highlight. Like, to be able to get to do that, especially in such a weird time where there has been, like, Maref in 2015 was a huge push forward for the community. And then over COVID period, it feels like we've taken a few steps back due to some incidents that have happened, you know, in the last kind of 2 years. So to be able to go out and be openly in drag on the streets of Dublin, going live to the nation with the show and hosting bits from the parade was just like, oh my God, this is a pinch me moment. And it's one of those moments I'll kind of never forget. Do you know the sort of way?
I get it 100%. And another pinch me moment that, well, hopefully it will be a pinch me moment. You've got another big event this year, your wedding.
Yes. Oh my goodness. I was like, what gig is she going to say? we're getting married in September, myself and my partner, Eddie.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much. Do you know what? I'm not the diva. I'm not going to be the bridezilla. We're going to do a really small...
I was going to say, is this full makeup? Is this full show?
Catherine, Paul, the performer, Paul Ryder, will be so far in a suitcase somewhere in the attic for that whole week that he won't even know they existed. So no, it's just myself, my partner, probably a small group of friends and family. And then I just kind of want to say to everyone, look, meet us in this bar afterwards for a few drinks and we'll just celebrate that way, because my life is a pantomime enough. I don't need my wedding to be one too.
I get it. All right. Well, the countdown to the Eurovision is on. I know you are a massive fan.
Yes.
So I want to get the runners and riders for you this year. Where is your head at?
I think UK is... originally I had said Sweden at the very, very top, right? Because I think Loreen is an absolute powerhouse, and I think what the performance did, you know, in the prelims will really knock it through the park. But I think UK have a good chance of following suit with how well they did last year, because it's a quirky song, it's fun, it's funky. She seems very...
May Muller,
she seems very funky and fun. Gives me very Brooke Scullion vibes from last year. Just a girl who's out there to have fun and really tear the house down. So I think we could be seeing UK and Sweden. Now, I'm probably going to be completely wrong, but I do think that we could be in Sweden for Eurovision next year.
Okay, all right. Well, you talked UK first. So this is May Muller. Let's take a listen. Instead of... I have to say, that is not for me.
No?
I'm thinking back to Wild Youth and I'm just... I'd be Wild Youth all the way.
Oh, I'm fully Wild Youth, but I'm just thinking outside the box. And I know the lads have had a tough old run of press, but you know what? Like what Brooke did last year, wait and see what happens on that stage. You'd never know how the boys are going to tear it down in next month.
We're going to have a little listen to Sweden as well. So introduce Loreen to us.
Queen Loreen with Tattoo.
Right. No, I don't care. Yeah, like that one. Yeah. Like that one. Yeah, she is the bookie's favourite, right?
Bookie's favourite. And you just don't know what's going to happen on the stage. We can listen to the songs and go, oh, I don't really like that. But then when you see the staging, everything changes.
Everything changes. All right. Well, the excitement is building up. As it is for Makeup All Stars, which you can watch every night from Monday the 17th of April exclusively on Virgin Media Player. Paul Ryder, always lovely to chat and have a wonderful weekend.
Catherine, pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
All right. That is all we've got time for today. Drive Time is up next with Samantha Labreri. Ray is back on Monday. Thanks for keeping me company all week. Have a lovely weekend and I'll see you soon.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.